Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and tonight I have with me, who do I have? I think I have that North Carolina girl, Dawn.
Oh, you're such a hoot woman. Hello, Pam. Yes, you have me. It's like on time tonight. We're kind of like, you know, kind of back in the saddle again, doing our thing, aren't we?
Yeah. Tag teaming it.
Oh, you're just being funny because you're stuck, neck deep in snow probably. How many inches do you have?
A foot at least, I'm sure.
A foot? Oh, you just say that so nonchalantly. You know what we would give for like a half a foot? It would be awesome. But, okay, you keep your snow.
Yeah, well, you can come and get some.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tonight we are very happy to welcome Rock Wilk. He's a playwright, an actor, a musician, an all-around guy. Just finished a very successful run of his play about his life called Broke Wide Open. And we're also going to talk to him about his new play called Privilege. So welcome, Rock.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us again. We're very excited to hear about the success of your play and or your one-man show. I don't know what you would call it exactly, but to me, I always call everything a play that's in the theater. So
yeah, it is a play. It's definitely a play.
So you must be very proud because I know we're proud of you.
Oh, I appreciate that. I am very, very proud of it.
Do you miss doing the daily routine now that it's ended? Or are you keeping busy with the new play?
Well, I really do miss it because leading up to that, you know, it was an off-Broadway run, and so leading up to it, I had worked 6 years, like every day, literally, on Broke Wide Open. I mean, my whole life for this whole six-year period was about writing and you know, figuring out the performance, rehearsing, Broke Wide Open every day, 24 hours a day. And so when I closed, the next day after I closed was literally the first day that I had not worked on Broke Wide Open. And so I was completely lost. I didn't know what to do with myself. And it took me a minute to kind of recover from that. You know, I was like, wow, what do I do now?
Right.
It was over. So it was weird.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, to me, that would be like, you know, during the holiday season, and you just have all this hype and hoopla and all these festivities, and the day after Christmas, it's like almost this letdown feeling. It's just almost a sort of depressed feeling because you're like, it's all gone. You know, it came so quick, and it was over before you know it, and then you're kind of sitting there going, we have to wait till next year now. So, I mean, I imagine for you, you were kind of on that vicious go daily, you know, and that was your life for such a period of time. And then to have that next day after, you know, it was, I'm sure that had to have been a little bit of a shock to your system.
It was. I mean, I guess, you know, even though I knew at some point I would move on to something else, it never really was like even a thought in my head while I was working on it that I was going to be doing anything else. I mean, I kind of received Broke Wide Open as a life's work. And so, you know, during that whole process, I never really thought about when it would be over. And I mean, I'm hoping it's never really over. I mean, I hope it continues, but you know, for the thing that was over was that it actually took me 6 years to complete the writing process. I mean, I wrote the ending 2 weeks before we opened. And it literally took me that whole time to get to the ending of that play. And so, you know, when I was every night when I was performing it, and, you know, the run lasted like 3.5 months, every night it felt like a completed piece of work. Like I thought to myself, I really finished this. Like it's done.
Right.
You know, it's over. So when it closed, I thought to myself, you know, this my work is done. You know, like I don't want to write this anymore. I don't have to work on this. It's like in my pocket. I have it now. It's going to make whatever contributions it's going to make, you know, in the world, but I don't have to work on it. And so I felt like it was really important for me to then move on to another project. So, you know, I took a couple of days and, you know, I had hoped to take a little bit more time, but I just, you know, I had had another project in my head for a long time that I wanted to work on. And so I just started to write, you know, and I think I kind of went into a little depression for a couple of days. I mean, I can imagine. Really didn't know what to do with myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I started writing. And, you know, ironically, when I started Broke Wide Open, you know, it was like the worst time of my life. I mean, my mother had just died. My marriage had just split up. And I was in a very dark place. And so I wrote myself, you know, know, into this catharsis, you know, for the next 6 years. So I think privilege kind of did the same thing for me. It started to kind of just, you know, gave me something to do, something to focus on, and all of a sudden, before I knew it, I was in. Like, I had written a whole play in less than a month.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was, you know, because the thing is, privilege is a story that is so important to me. And it's really, it's about everything that's most important to me in my life. I mean, Broke Wide Open is about my life. You know, it's about my adoption and my fostering, and it's about me. And, you know, perhaps maybe it's the most important work that I could ever do for my life. You know, I feel like I needed to go through that process, but I think privilege is the most important work to me. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, about racism and prejudice and white privilege, and it's about, you know, that type of interaction in the world between people that has always compelled me since I was a little kid. And, you know, there's a lot in Broke Wide Open about that as well. You know, people see what I was like even when I was a little kid. So I feel like privilege has been brewing for quite a while. And I think, you know, Broke Wide Open has kind of armed me and tooled me to be able to move on and work on this next project, which I feel is probably, you know, even more important because it's not just really about me. And, you know, as much as Broke Wide Open started all about me, it certainly didn't wind up about me. It was really about everybody because it became such a community collaborative project. But privilege is not all about me. And it's a story that I'm just creating. It's not a true, I mean, it is based in true stories, but it's certainly not a true story. So it's a lot different. It's a completely different project. And I'm excited about it because I'm a little overwhelmed with it right now. So I'm looking forward to being, you know, challenged again.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to read what you wrote about privilege on your website because I think it explains it really well and it's so beautifully written, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. There are no songs in privilege and a very little poetry, but I hope it reads like a symphony, like a beautifully tragic opera, like Miles soloing over My Funny Valentine, like Keith Jarrett floating furiously in stream of consciousness, improvisation, if I can talk, like a beautiful love story that is drowned in reality, dark like a night filled with a million stars and storms, and it feels like, oh, it feels beautiful, but just a little bit dangerous and sad and angry and friendship and loyalty and narcissism and trust and pure, vast like the ocean, unadulterated love. I hope it reads like that, Rock Wilk. I guess I should have put my glasses on before I read it. But I thought that was so beautiful, and it, to me, it sounds like the poet in you coming out as well when you wrote that.
Yeah, well, I kind of think that way. I think that's why, you know, if you spend a lot of time with me, it gets kind of annoying. But that's how I really, that's how I think, and that's how I talk, and that's what it is. You know, like when I like, privilege is similar to Broke Wide Open in that there's definitely a very specific language that is my language. You know, it's, I think it's very musical, and it is very poetic, but it's not poetry, and there is no music. This is not a musical. Broke Wide Open was a musical. This is not. This is just a straight play. And it is, you know, the language is very specific, and it's very stylized, but I think very, very different than Broke Wide Open.
It sounds like it to me. What do you think, Dawn?
Definitely. And I'm a sucker for a love story anyway.
Yeah, right.
And I really am. I mean, especially one that just pulls you in and kind of just makes you feel every possible emotion. And that's one of the things that I love about your work is that it does that. It helps you tap in to feelings and emotions you didn't realize you had or could have.
Mm.
And so that's what I'm really, really looking forward to Privilege because we get more of that, but it'll be a whole different take, you know, on a completely different theme, and that'll be awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a love story. I mean, even though it's, you know, like I said, what it's about, it's literally about three kids that grow up together in Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. and they meet when they're 15 years old in middle school, and you see them, they're like these inseparable friends, and you see them grow together over a 20-year period of their lives. And it's one black boy, one white boy, and one Latina girl, and you see how their lives are just going dramatically different directions simply because of who they are and the way society treats them and what they have to deal with, just because one is black, one is white, one is a woman and a Latina woman. And so it's a tragically beautiful story, but it's definitely a tragedy. Something horrible happens, and but it's a love story. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful love story about these kids. Like, I mean, as I'm writing it, I'm just falling more and more in love with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually four characters. And, you know, the other funny thing is that I began writing it as another solo piece. I mean, Broke Wide Open, and, you know, it's funny what you said earlier, whether it's a one-man show or a play. I don't even ever use the term one-man show or a solo show or anything like that because
mm-hmm.
I feel like people are biased when they hear that. They suddenly think it's like somebody sitting on stage on a stool telling a story.
Right.
And Broke
yeah.
Wide Open is like this beautiful production. And so it's another play, but what's interesting is that I was writing it to perform it by myself, but as I've been developing it, I think it's virtually impossible to do it that way. I think it's going to wind up being an ensemble piece. So I'm going to do a reading. I'm doing a reading here in New York on March 19th by myself, but then I'm going to do an ensemble reading with other actors probably in April. And I think it's evolving to be more of an ensemble play than a solo play, which it's going to be interesting for me, too, because I haven't done that before. But I think that that's what's going to serve the work best, because these characters, you know, Broke Wide Open, the characters were my mother and my grandmother and my father and my best friends and my wife, you know, all these people in my life. But these are people, you know, who have nothing to do with me. And the whole story is not filtered through me. And they're very, very developed characters. And so I feel like I want to see how other people, you know, manifest these characters out of their own vessel and not just mine. And I think it would be just magical for me and for, you know, I think it would just be better for the work, too. So we'll see. I mean, I think I'm going to do it both ways because it's also going to be an incredible challenge to pull it off as a solo piece. But I think for the work, I'm just feeling right now, and this could always change, but I'm feeling right now like maybe as an ensemble, it might be better for the art, for the work. And I always try to follow what's best for the work, not what I want to do.
Well, I think it would be very interesting seeing you play a Latina woman.
And I can. But, you know, the thing about this play, what I love about it is that, you know, even though these characters are all, you know, very, very unique and very individual, very, very powerful people, all of them, they're all very much the same. You know, they grew up in the same neighborhood, they're friends. And, you know, when you have like this inseparable group of friends at 15 years old, they're all kind of the same. You know, they're all kind of very influenced by one another. So
mm-hmm.
their language is very similar and their sensibilities are very similar. And that's what's interesting about it is that, you know, you have these kids who are like pretty much the same when they're kids. And then the world around them just kind of rips this union that they've created out of them. And so the love remains, but the world kind of seeps in there and just kind of tries to rip them apart for their whole lives because, you know, that's what society does. Just like
right.
it segregates all of us. You know, it takes us into different places. It tells us what we're supposed to be because of the way we look. It tells us, you know, it gives us expectations of ourselves. It kind of puts us in a box, you know, like, you know, this is what you do, and this is what you're supposed to do. Oh, you're black, well, this is what you're supposed to do. You're Jewish, that's what you're supposed to do. You're a woman, this is what you can't do, and we don't expect this of you. And so it's really interesting how, you know, they love each other so much, and that remains, but the world kind of rips them up to shreds, you know. And I think that the play is really about how they are so desperately and furiously trying to keep themselves, you know, and they just slowly lose a little bit more every day. And I think that's what happens to all of us. You know, we kind of, people as they get older, they lose certain, you know, this open kind of optimistic feeling that we have as kids, and the world kind of takes stuff out of us, you know. And so I think, you know, I guess kind of like Broke Wide Open and anything that I would ever work on, it's it's a story of resilience, but it's also a very reality-based story. And, you know, sometimes reality is not so happy.
That's so very true.
And reality and society, the two combined, can really, like you say, can take things away from us as we grow and evolve in this journey called life, because, you know, there are so many times I think as adults particularly we say, gosh, I wish I was still a kid when it didn't matter, you know, and there were no judgments and we got to speak our minds because it was okay. And, you know, and there was so many things related to that that as an adult you kind of lose because everything becomes so politically correct or enmeshed, and you can't say this, you can't do that. And then, like you say, people get boxed in by stereotypes based on what they are, who they are, where they come from. And, you know, and I wanted to ask you, how did this play challenge you at all and stretch you in terms of your writing? Because it is different. It's not funneling through you, Rock Wilk, like, you know, Broke Wide Open did it challenge you in any kind of new ways?
Well, yeah, because it's a straight play, and so just in, like, technical terms, like the dialogue, I'm really challenging myself to write a completely different type of dialogue within the play, because in Broke Wide Open, I was definitely writing a solo play, and here I've added dialogue. Now, I didn't do it on purpose, but the dialogue is much more interactive, and I think it's because it's the way, like, I don't feel like, I think when you're talking about race and racism and sexism and religion and, you know, all that kind of stuff, I think it's narcissistic. I think it would be, you know, I don't think it really serves it well to just be funneled through one point of view. I think that the biggest challenge for me now is to give each of these people a very, very strong sense of self and a very strong focus so that nobody is the main focus of the story. And so, you know, I think it's a huge challenge because in Broke Wide Open, you know, I was the only, you know, I was the whole focus. And, you know, I would, and these people that I created, these were like actual conversations and real stories that happened. But now, you know, maybe I'm what's really kind of interesting about it for me is while I'm writing these characters, I am these characters, but I'm making them up. And so I'm writing, like you said, I'm writing from the perspective, I'm trying to walk in the shoes of a woman, and a woman who, you know, who grows up, you know, in Washington Heights in New York, and she's this Dominican girl, and now she's growing up and she becomes an attorney, and now she's in the corporate world, and all the issues that a woman has to deal with to rise to that type of, those types of heights in her life. And I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a young black male, you know, and I'm a white male. So now I'm having to sit down and really, really try to see the world through the eyes of these other people. And then I'm sitting here, you know, writing a character of a white male with, you know, at the same time while I'm looking at the world through the eyes of these other people. And there's also a young black girl in it who's the narrator. And so it's a big challenge for me because, you know, I'm trying to be completely open and I'm trying to leave my own sensibilities out of it and my own perspectives. But at the same time, it's impossible because I'm writing it and, you know, I am who I am. So I'm basing it on, each character is based on like so many people in my life. You know, each character is probably based on 10 or 15 people that I have known in my life. And I'm trying to think like, what would she have said or what would he have said or, you know, how did he act or she act in this type of situation? And then I get to just make it up. You know, it's fun. Like I get to just, you know, and it's my story that I'm making up. So then what's interesting too is now I have to read this to people and share this with people. And they might say, yo, I don't agree with you. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I have to answer to that now. I feel like it's going to be like, I'm hoping that it evokes a very, very kind of visceral response from people. I mean, Broke Wide Open did, but for different reasons, you know, because it was a story of a search for home and questions of identity, and it was like more, you know, issues that people deal with themselves, you know. This is more like, this is taboo stuff. This is stuff that people don't want to talk about, you know. It's because, I don't know if you know, but privilege is inspired by In 2006, Sean Bell was shot by New York City police officers 50 times. This is a true story.
He was
at his bachelor party in Queens in a club, and there was an altercation with the police, and he was shot 50 times, and he was unarmed, him and three of his friends. Now, the police shot 50 bullets, and there were no bullets shot the other way. And so, you know, but there are all kinds of stories and all kinds of implications, and everybody has a different opinion and perspective, and, you know, who's to say what's right or wrong? I mean, you know, obviously, I don't think that the police were just going there to just shoot people. Something happened, and something provoked them. And there are so many, there have been so many stories, and the trial went on for a very long time. And so when I heard about that in 2006, I wrote a poem about it, and I actually performed it the day after he got shot in Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn outside, because I was so moved by the whole thing. Because what happened was, I had been in the studio the night before working on a song. You know, I was working on an album. Actually, I was working on Broke Wide Open. And I got out of the train, and I ran into a friend of mine in front of the projects in Bed-Stuy at Lafayette Gardens, pretty close to where I lived. And he was like, "Yo, Rock, did you hear some kid got shot 50 times by police?" And I was like, 50 times? It's crazy. And so he's, "Yeah." And he says, "He was unarmed." I was like, "That sounds crazy. I don't even believe that." And then his little brother, who's 11 years old, looked at me, and he says, "Don't worry, Rock, you're cool. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay." I'm like, "What are you talking about? I'm okay." He goes, "You're white. You couldn't get shot 50 times if you tried."
Oh, my God.
And I was like, wow. And I just thought, that is so true. And he was like, "Man, you could bug out. You could walk into that police station. They would never shoot you 50 times. They might shoot you once or twice, but nobody's afraid of you. You're white. They're just afraid of us." And I was like, wow.
That's
so true. So, you know, I just thought about the, you know, it's like white privilege. Like, it's so true. Like, nobody has the same visceral emotional response looking at me as they would to a young black male. It's just the way it is. It's just, you know, nobody has ever heard a story about any person who's white who's experienced something like that. You know, like Sean Bell was shot 50 times. Amadou Diallo was shot 41 times in New York. You know, we all know the stories about Trayvon Martin, and, you know, but you never hear it about some white guy ever, you know.
Mm-mm.
So that's what the so the funny thing is, well, it's not funny, but the interesting thing is that I performed that piece at the New Yorican Poets Cafe one night, and somebody made a video of it, and they put it out on YouTube. And so I found out later that kids from all over the country are, like, taking this video and using it for social ethics classes, and, you know, using it to write papers about, you know, racism in America and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the most amazing thing is that somebody that I know from the poetry community sent that video to Sean Bell's father, and they contacted me and invited me to Jamaica, Queens, where Sean Bell is from, to perform that piece for his family. So I got to perform this piece about their son. I met his mother and his father and his family and his whole community, and I got to perform this piece about, you know, basically me saying, that could never happen to me. And it was one of the most amazing nights of my life. I mean, I got to stand next to his mother, and I was screaming, 50 shots, 50 shots, 50 shots, standing next to his mom, you know?
Wow. How hard was that to do? I mean, my gosh.
It was heavy. You know, it was, like, so heavy. It was because, you know, I think that they asked me to come out there because they kind of wanted to see, like, you know, what's this guy doing? Like, what is this all about? You know, I think part of it was to be very generous to me, but also part of it was probably they were curious, like, what's this, you know, like, what is he even talking about, you know? Like, this is a guy who's probably never even been stopped by the police other than maybe for a speeding ticket. But, you know, I haven't grown up in my life being harassed by the police, and, you know, I haven't experienced the same thing that I would if I were black. It's just a fact. And so it was interesting to go into that community, and, you know, at first it was a little kind of, you know, I could tell people were like, okay, let's, you know, what is this all about? But then when they realized what I was talking about, it just became a beautiful exchange. It was certainly not fun, you know, but I mean, it was so amazing. And then we talked about it, you know, we sat, we talked for hours and hours afterwards. And I just got to sit with his community. We talked about, you know, race and, and community and living in the city together and living everywhere. And I got to hear these people talking about their experiences. And then, you know, then we talked about Broke Wide Open. And all of a sudden, you know, at the beginning of the night, we started being kind of very distant from one another. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the night, it was like I was just part of the community and they were part of me. And we were just all like family. And so now I'm still, you know, in contact with them and I'm kind of involved with them. You know, I'm so grateful to be able to write this and to have that kind of feedback and to be able to, you know, share the process of this work because, you know, why would I write this just from my perspective? I mean, that would be
right.
kind of ridiculous, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I've always grown up in a very diverse place. I mean, I'm from New York, so I'm lucky, you know, but most of the country is not like New York, you know, so, you know, people from here, we, you know, we live with each other, even though New York is certainly not without racism. I mean, it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's very pervasive.
Right.
People think that New York City is so progressive, and it is. It's probably the most progressive place in the world. But does racism still exist? Does fear still exist? Absolutely. Is New York becoming more and more segregated like the rest of the country? Yeah. Why is that? Well, you know, economics. Well, why are economics so, like, why are, you know, more black people not as economically abundant as white people? Well, because what have the opportunities been in this country or throughout the world based on race? You know, it's like these are questions that I'm hoping people ask and talk about and get kind of bothered about when they see the play because, you know, eventually we all want to have the same opportunities and we want to all feel safe and we want to feel at home and we want to feel loved and we want to feel accepted. And we don't want to feel like we have to work 5,000 times harder than everybody else. You know, same thing with being a woman. I mean, to be a woman and to achieve certain things, it's much more difficult to do that than if you were a man. So, you know, that's it's not just a play about racism. It's about sexism. It's about everything like that. So it is kind of an extension of Broke Wide Open. But, to be out there with the Bell family, that was, you know, that's one of the times when I say, God, I'm so lucky to be able to do this kind of work because I'm sitting here with Sean Bell's family.
Right.
I mean, how mm-hmm. crazy is that? This is not like, you know, I'm trying to be on Broadway or I'm trying to get a record deal. I'm sitting here and this is like real life, you know, like I am getting to sit here. And then, you know, after I did my poem, Sean Bell's mother read a poem that she had written right after he passed that she had never read before out loud. And she shared it that night. And so, I mean, I was just so moved. I think everybody there was so moved by that whole thing. And I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. You know, I'll never, never, ever forget that the whole night. And it was so generous to me.
What an awesome experience for you to have. And like you say, privilege. I mean, that kind of sums up in one word, you know, what that had to have been like for you that night. And,
yeah.
and you know, you were just speaking about how, you know, we tend to be so segregated, you know, between sexism, racism. And, you know, sometimes I just wish people could look beyond, you know, a person's skin color or just a person in general and just realize that people's talents and gifts are not dictated by a color or a background. They are given, and they're God-given gifts. And if we could just see people for the gifts that they have to offer this world instead of seeing them as the color or the fact that they're a man or a woman or because you're a woman, you can't do this, or you're a man, so you should do this. I mean, that would eliminate so much diversity and hatred in our country. And,
yeah.
you know, worldwide, too, naturally, but, you know, what you say is so true, and it's so profound, and I think it's what every person strives for. And the beauty of being able to do what you do is you can get out there, and you can make stories like this, and you can form them. And what you're saying is what people feel. You know, people are feeling, and you have a platform in which to speak for many people, not just for Rock Wilkes, but for
right.
many people who have thought the same thing. And that is a gift in itself, you know, to be able to use that for such a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole point, right? Like,
right.
why
mm-hmm.
would any artist want to do everything just for themselves, you know?
Exactly.
I think if you have a gift of writing or singing or acting or whatever, you know, I think it's your responsibility to use it as a in a contributing way, you know, and to provoke people to, you know, like you said, we're all thinking the same thing. We're all living here in the world together. And I think the biggest problem is that people are afraid to really share with one another. You know, they're so afraid of everything and they're so careful. And I think that's why my work resonates with people, because I get out there and I just, it's like I'm standing naked on stage and people are like, whoa. And then all of a sudden they find themselves talking about things that they don't generally talk about. And that for me is the greatest gift of my work. Like what I receive from my work, that's what I hold most precious, is that, you know, people feel that it allows them to be more open and to feel safe in sharing things that maybe they didn't feel comfortable with before they experienced this work. And you know, that was what I was most proud of about Broke Wide Open. You know, Broke Wide Open started for me as this catharsis of, you know, searching for my identity, you know, my dealing with my adoption and my fostering and looking for my biological mother. And, you know, and ultimately I realized, and I didn't even, you know, I really did realize when I was working on it that I was not looking for her. I was looking for me. And, you know, I needed to find what felt like home to me, like who am I? And, you know, it's just that's why I do this. You know, one of the greatest things about Broke Wide Open is it made me realize why I was here. You know, why, like, mm-hmm. I think one of my biggest fears my whole life has been, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm just taking up space, like I'm just here. You know, I want to make some kind of contribution. And I think that's what art does for me. You know, I think everybody has something in their life that makes them feel that way. You know, like if you're a shoemaker, then, you know, you're making shoes for people. I mean, if you're a plumber, you're helping people, you know, you're fixing, you know, the chaos that's going on in their home when the toilet's broken or whatever. I mean, everybody's making a real, true, major contribution. You know, we all need each other. And so for me, it's this work. And, you know, one of the reasons I got so depressed after Broke Wide Open closed was because I didn't know what was going to happen next. You know, I kind of worked so hard to get to this off-Broadway run, and I had wanted to go to Broadway, and I wanted all this other stuff to happen. And I was kind of, you know, I'm kind of at a place now where I have no idea what's going to happen. But then I got a call to perform Broke Wide Open, like I'm going to perform next week for about 40 group home, kids in foster care and group homes. And so, you know, I know that this work is going to continue because of that, you know, like that. It just reminded me, like, that is the exact reason why I wrote it. You know, I'm trying very, very diligently right now to get Broke Wide Open onto the college circuit, because mm-hmm. I feel like I want to talk to kids of that age, you know, and I feel like, it'll bring about, you know, great conversation, you know, with college kids. So, you know, at that age, that's when kids are like preparing to change the world, you know? So
right.
I want to get to colleges. I want to get to regional theaters. And so, you know, while Broke Wide Open is done, I'm just hoping that it gets out there now. And that's the thing that I do while I'm now developing this new work. And both of them feel like they have some value to me. So I feel like, okay, I can do this. I'm not being frivolous. I'm not taking up space. I'm doing something that actually means something to me and hopefully contributes to the community.
Well, with Broke Wide Open, I think you touch a lot of individual lives. And with Privilege, it sounds to me more like you'll be touching more communities.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, one thing I've learned is that if you're willing to be really open about your work, no matter what it's about, I think that you create a community, because I think the biggest thing people want is they want you to invite them in to be a part of what you're doing. You know, mm-hmm. they don't want to feel like you're just putting it on them. You know, like, there are so many amazingly gifted, talented artists out here who don't really move people in that way, because they're not really inviting you in. They're just showing you what they can do. Like, I'm amazing. And, you know, which is fine. It's entertaining, and people are going to pay to see that, and it's great, you know. But I think the great artists, like the greatest artists, are the ones who invite people into what they're doing and kind of make them a part of it. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, like I'm such a huge fan of people like Spike Lee, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people like that who, you know, they do work that is just so about, or, you know, even, you know, well, I mean, there's so many artists like that. And I like work that involves the community and that makes people feel like they can relate to it. Like they could have written that, you know, they could have done this.
Right.
And so privilege is, like I said, Broke Wide Open was very important for me, and I'm very grateful that it, I shared it in the way that I did, so that, you know, it changed me. I mean, it healed me. It saved my life. But I think it also did amazing things for a lot of people, you know, clearly. I mean, I created this beautiful community. But privilege is, I think, going to be much more controversial and maybe, I don't want to say more important, but important in a next level
different
kind of way.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
right.
like you know, I think Broke Wide. I think I look at it like this: Broke Wide Open set a foundation for me to be able to work on privilege. I could never serve the work that privilege requires without having done Broke Wide Open. And I feel the same way about people. Like, I think if you don't know who you are, if you don't feel comfortable in your own skin, if you don't like know, you know, what you're about, then you can't possibly be sensitive to other people. You know, you can't. You know, you're going to have fear. You're going to be much more insecure. You're going to be much more unsure of people who aren't exactly like you. But if you strongly know who you are, then I think you'd be much more open to other people, and you'll embrace them. I think you'll celebrate the differences in a much more in a much healthier way. You know, actually, I met somebody recently, and this is what it made me realize how important privilege is. I met this woman, and, you know, she's an African-American woman, and she's successful, and she's got children, and she's got a family. And she actually said to me, "I hate being black."
Wow.
And I was
"Wow.
I hate being black." And she's like, but then she told me, you know, everything that she's had to deal with her whole life and the expectations and the way people look at a black woman, you know, it's been very, very difficult for her. And so she said, you know, "I have to admit, I hate being black." She goes, "My family hates to hear that, but that's how I feel." And she's a very honest person, obviously. But
right.
It just made me think, like, wow, like, imagine how profound is that? You know, this is a woman who, I mean, it's hard to describe how deep that is. I mean, think about
mm-hmm.
it, you know? Like, how many people do you hear say, "I hate being white"? But you know what? When I was a kid, I hated being white because I resented it, because I had so many close friends who were black, and I knew that their experience in the world was so different than mine. I saw it because I was with them every day. And I had all this self-loathing and all this self-hatred, and because I felt like I don't have to go through all this stuff that they go through. And I really...
Yeah,
really,
almost like the why me syndrome.
Yeah, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had to grow a lot to embrace myself and feel comfortable with who I am, but probably for different reasons than other people, but that was my reason. I felt like I don't want to be part of this elitist world that I just was born into. I hated it, you know. And it was a weird place to be, and I was very kind of angry and a very kind of internal kid. But I felt it because I felt the white privilege, I felt the racism, and I felt I lived in such an unfair world. And so I totally understood why that woman said that to me. And it made me sad, but, you know, I think she's a pretty happy person. She would consider herself happy, but I just thought, wow, I just hope for her one day that she can say, "I love being black." And because that's who she is. And she's just a beautiful, intelligent person who's got a beautiful family. And for her to say something like that is so indicative of this world that we live in. Like, that anybody
mm-hmm.
would possibly ever be in a place to say something about themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes back to what I mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, if we could just put aside the stereotypes and we could just see people for for who they are and not for the color they are, for what they are, where they come from. Just see them as people, as human beings, you know.
Right.
We were all created the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all have an equal opportunity to be equal and to do, go out there. And I mean, we all have something within ourselves that we can offer the world. And, you know, as I love listening to you talk about your journey and about what you do because, you know, I think Broke Wide Open was really a great way for you to heal from many things that you went through as a child and growing up. And it really helped you to figure out who you are as a person. And you're right. I think, you know, had you written Privilege first, it would probably be a completely different story.
Yeah.
But you've been able to take Privilege and turn it into something that will once again be beautiful in its own way, that, you know, that is so dramatically different from Broke Wide Open. But it will, again, be something that I think will touch many lives and in numerous ways. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, and I think I said it this to you before, but I've always been a big advocate that if we just look at our lives from where we are right now, we kind of look backwards at all the things that have happened, you can kind of see how the dots connect, and you can see how everything had to happen as it was supposed to in order for you to get to the place you are right now.
Right.
And I've said that many times over about my own life, you know, when I think about certain things, that certain turns I could have taken and things I did instead, and I look back and go, well, now it makes sense. It doesn't in the moment sometimes, but as you get on down the road of life and the journey, you realize, ah, I understand now. And
right.
I think for you, that's what's happened. You come full circle from where you were, and now you're able to take that and offer that to the world in such a positive way. That's the amazing thing about your story.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So we have to do all this stuff in an entertaining way. So
yeah.
and hopefully it is. You know, I mean, I think it is. I think, you know, that's the beautiful thing about theater. You know, you come out and you walk into a theater and. And, you know, I mean, for me, there's nothing more magical than the environment of being in a live theater. And there are people on stage, you know, creating this story for you. And you're sitting there in the audience. And it's like a great film, you know. And when it's about something that's important, you know, and even when it's just funny, whatever it is, it's always of such great value. But, you know, for the type of artist that I am, I'm always trying to, like, push people to think and to you know, to go to a place that maybe they don't feel so comfortable in their regular life, and then all of a sudden they're in a place that hopefully helps them to evolve. And I think that's when art is at its best, is when it makes us grow and evolve to a higher place, and then hopefully it kind of transfers over to our real life, you know, to our life outside of that moment in the theater. And that's what I'm always really hoping for, trying to, you know, just at least evoke, you know, conversation and interaction with people and conversation and then, you know, I think we can grow. And I think that's what's probably the most important thing about being in the world and living and
mm-hmm.
getting older and growing, is that we evolve and get better. I mean, we all, you know, everybody's so flawed. We're so fragile. We're so screwed up. You know, people make mistakes and probably, you know, as we learn, the most important thing we could do as we get older is to forgive. And we have to realize that everybody's capable of horrible things and horrible thoughts. And you know, it's just the way life is. But, you know, everybody also has a right to change. And everybody has a right to grow and evolve. And I think that when you see art, and I think that's when you realize that people have the opportunity to get to a different place. And, you know, you realize, like the past doesn't equal the future, and you can get to, you know, a more kind of astute, intelligent, informed place in your life. That's what I'm always hoping for.
And with watching this play, as well as Broke Wide Open, and finding yourself evolving and changing and becoming a better person, you can then pass that on to your family and your friends and hopefully change their lives so they'll be better people. And as it goes on, you know, hopefully we have better people in this world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the perfect scenario right there. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like if you create something and it makes people around you better, then what's better than that? Nothing.
Oh.
I mean, then you feel like, wow, you know, I did something good. I have a positive legacy in this world. You know, I don't have kids. I don't really, you know, I have a family like that. So for me, my work is my legacy. And I, you know, I, sometimes I think to myself, like, how cool would it be if, you know, there are kids who, you know, 20 years from now are performing Broke Wide Open in college, or, you know, who are going to do Privilege, you know, like, I would love for Privilege to be a play where, you know, I submit the script to regional theaters and they just cast it and do the play, you know. It's like infiltrating the whole world with your art,
right,
with your work.
Right.
And so all of a sudden your family is not just your family who gets together on Thanksgiving, but now your family is like, you know, some family that's living in Nigeria or Buenos Aires or, you know, Australia or Canada or Newark, you know, or, you know, your family is now everywhere because that's what's so amazing about artists like the Beatles or Michael Jackson or Mozart or, you know, these artists have reached, you know, so far around the world that they actually have made a contribution in a global way, you know, and they have real significant influence on people. You know, an artist like John Lennon, you know, I think that's why you have to be responsible as an artist too, because, you know, you like however you want to present yourself, I think you have to be conscious of that. You know, you might be a very controversial artist and you might want to be the person to say all the wrong things just to make everybody think. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think that every artist needs to know who they are. You know what I mean? Like know what you're
right.
doing, because
okay.
if you do become widely successful, you know, you are going to be influencing a lot of people because people, especially young people, are like sponges, you know. I mean, if you're like an artist like Eminem, for example, you know, a lot of people don't like Eminem, you know. But I heard Eminem on an interview once, and they were talking about, you know, how somebody, I don't remember exactly what it was, but somebody was talking about they were criticizing a song because he, you know, like stuck his wife in the trunk of a car or something like that. And I just remember him saying something like, you know, it's a song. I didn't really put her in the trunk of a car. And you know what? If I didn't write the song, maybe I would have. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, in
mm-hmm.
art, art can keep people from doing horrible things. And art is always something for us to think, you know, like I don't think anybody should ever kind of, you know, delude themselves into thinking that horrible things are not happening in the world. You know, in my case, what I'm saying to people is racism and sexism and homophobia and anti-Semitism and all this stuff, it exists in the world. And so we must talk about it and we must deal with it. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to deal with it now in the most beautiful love story you've ever seen. Like you're about to fall in love with four of the most beautiful kids you've ever met in your whole life. And you're going to see how this world destroys them. You know, you're not going to
mm-hmm.
believe what happens to these kids. And you're going to be like, damn, I love these kids.
Yeah.
You're going to care about them, and you're going to be so upset. And for me, that's what's so beautiful about it. It's like you are going to be devastated by what happens to these people, and you're going to think, how could we do this? Like, how can the world be this way? Like, you know, sometimes when I'm writing this play, I'm sitting in front of my computer, and I'm, like, sobbing because I'm thinking,
wow.
why is it that I could even write these stories? Like,
right.
Why is it even possible that stuff like this could happen? Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it is. So we must talk about it. We must deal with it. And you know what? I do believe that eventually, I believe it's getting better every day. I think the world is so much better today than it was yesterday. We still have such a long way to go, and I believe we'll always have a long way to go. But,
right.
you know, I do believe that everything's getting better and better and better, and it will continue to get better. But you know, we got to
keep working on it. That's
yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
You can't let it go and think someone else is going to do it.
We have to keep annoying each other, absolutely.
Yeah.
and that's what I do. You know, I'm hoping to, like, I'm the guy who's going to just, you know, be incessantly bringing stuff up all the time. People are like, oh, my God, it's Rock Wilk. Here he goes again. You know, I got to deal with this. But that's what I want. That's my privilege. You know, it's my...
And I say go for it because I give you kudos, as Dawn would say, for bringing this out to the public and trying to make a difference in everyone's life. I mean, I can't even thank you enough for that.
Well, thank you. It really is my honor. You know, it's my... It's my you know, it's like a gift. I mean, I know that I have certain gifts and abilities, and if I can use them, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm so ambitious, too, because I do want, I want the whole world to hear these stories, you know, but it's not because I want to make $27 trillion, which I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind being very wealthy. I'll deal with that challenge, but it's not what drives me, and it's not what compels me. What compels me is to share the story with everybody. I think any artist feels like that. You know, I don't think any artist starts their work thinking, I just want to get rich. I want to be a celebrity. I don't think anybody really thinks that. I think that everybody wants to, they have a need to share their stories and a need to share what they feel is important. And so as an artist, it's what makes me wake up in the morning, you know, that I want to do this. And so if people appreciate it and if they receive it as meaningful, then I feel like, wow, you know, that's, it's like my birthday present every day. That's what it feels like to me. I'm just grateful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Really,
yeah.
Grateful every day. Yeah.
Well, just for our listeners so they know, if you'd like to attend, the first public reading is March 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern in New York City at the Medicine Show Theater. It's at 549 West 52nd Street on the third floor. You can read more about Privilege and by going to the website. It's privilegethestory.com. You can also donate on the website to help support Privilege and sign up for the mailing list. You can follow them on Twitter at Privilege Story, and they're also on Facebook, which would be, of course, facebook.com/privilege. And I really would love for you to go ahead and like that page and follow them on Twitter and go see the show, the first reading, and give back to Rock. He's at Rock Wilk, W-I-L-K, on Twitter, or go on Facebook to his page and let him know what your thoughts are on it.
I would love that. And also, if I could, I just want to say, if you want to see Broke Wide Open, you can reach out to me as well. And I would love, you know, right now I'm in the process of meeting with some agents, but I'm dealing with it directly myself right now, and I would, I'm really trying to get Broke Wide Open out. I'm sitting here literally with this painting folded up on the floor of my apartment right now.
I was going to ask you where it was.
I'm like, this is so bad. It is like the most magnificent work of art in the history of the world, and it's sitting here on my floor. So I am like, you know, very ready to take this painting on the road with my rusty scaffold and my lighting design. And, you know, I have, you know, the artists are Jason Cicino and Lee Alston, and the lighting design of Omira Casiano, and, you know, the direction of Stephen Bishop Seeley. And I just want to take this, I want to go to every regional theater, and I want to get to every college everywhere. And so if people want to see Broke Wide Open, they should contact me, and they should tell everybody in their town, you know, whoever runs their theaters or their universities or whatever, tell them that they want to play there, and we'll work it out, and I'll get there. I mean, it's already beginning. I'm starting to book it now, but I would like to be
great. I'm so happy to hear that, because I think it needs to continue. And just so our listeners know as well, they can take a look at the painting with you standing on the scaffolding on take2radio.com, and that's the number two. It's on the home page. Once the interview is over and we put the podcast on the website, it'll be underneath interviews. Dawn will switch it over there, but you'll be able to see this painting that we're talking about. It's absolutely a stunning, stunning paper.
It's so amazing.
Stunning.
The canvas painting. It is actually
the canvas, yes, painting is what I meant to say.
It's three stories high, literally. It is huge. It's three stories high and 20 feet wide. It is enormous. It just folds up, and I could just travel with it, so it's pretty amazing. And also,
I mean,
you can get all the information about Broke Wide Open at brokewideopen.com.
.com, yeah. That's, I was going to tell them that, too. And it'll be on our website as well. So I wish you continued success. Broke Wide Open, and also with the new play Privilege, and I'm praying that one day I'll see you live on stage in Chicago. And I know you want him over there too, Dawn, so let's not forget North Carolina.
Yeah,
definitely.
Please come to North Carolina. I will definitely come and support you. So, and treat you to some good old North Carolina barbecue as well.
I will be there.
Yeah, he'll
good.
Be hungry
oh,
after the play, so make sure
that's
you bring
right.
it
with. we'll go out for something to eat, steaks, and something to drink, so it'll all be good.
Definitely,
yeah.
definitely. Don't worry.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us again. It sure was a pleasure speaking with you and finding out so much more about the new play, and I just can't thank you enough. Honestly, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing and to change the world, to change even person by person.
Well, I thank you guys so much. I appreciate you a lot. And just thanks for having me. I'll come back here anytime you want.
You're very welcome.
We really enjoyed it.
You're always welcome to join us. You know that. Suzanne knows that, too. Thank you, Suzanne, for doing this again.
Suzanne Pinedo, the greatest PR woman ever.
Isn't she
awesome? He is absolutely
a PR
awesome.
Person and somebody who's just an incredibly generous, motivated, hardworking human being. Suzanne
mm-hmm.
Pinedo, PR. She's it. Pinedo Relations. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a heart of gold. I've spoken with her on the phone quite a few times, and we could talk forever.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's so full of energy. She loves what she does, and she believes in you and, you know, anybody else that she takes on as a client.
She's just, you know, the bottom line is she's just really, really good at what she does, and she's mm-hmm. got a lot of integrity. And I don't know anybody who works harder than her, so she's amazing.
That's so true. Well, thank you so much, Rock, and you enjoy the rest of your night. And
you too.
God bless you.
Thank you so much, and I'll speak to you guys soon. And I'll see
okay.
you out.
Thank you, Rock. Take care, and God
bye.
Bless.
You too.
Peace. Bye-bye. Rock Wilk. There's no words to describe him other than an amazing, caring, realist, and, you know, wants to change the world, and he's doing it, you know, one person at a time, one community
and
at a time.
Yet again, another great interview and a very inspiring interview. I mean, every time we have spoken with him, he has just inspired me to want to go out and do awesome things, you know, for people, and he really does motivate you to want to be the best you can be. Because when you hear his story and you hear where he came from and what he struggled with, how he got through it, and, you know, and I hit on this before, in his situation, being given up for adoption, he, mm-hmm. you know, he was adopted and, you know, and ended up in a very good situation. But, you know, that could have made anyone bitter. It could have made anyone do horrible things, you know, in terms of coping with that or not wanting to cope with it. But he took that experience and turned it into something beautiful that not only blessed him and helped him overcome it and healed him, but he's now been able to take that and people are benefiting from it now. So, and, you know, and that was really, he will say that when he started writing that, it was just to kind of be therapeutic for him. And little did he know that it would become what it was. And what it has. So I have a feeling privilege is just going to kind of be an extension of that, you know, in a
right.
different way, but
right.
more of the same. I think Break Wide Open was just the beginning of the process for him. You know, we'll be seeing lots more of plays to come from him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing, and I think we probably will see, one or both of them becoming a movie.
I think so. I don't see how, you know, did you hear him mention agents? He's speaking with agents, and
right.
Made me wonder. So
I know, right?
Great.
He's keeping
mm-hmm.
something from us, maybe, huh?
I know. Probably didn't want to say anything until, you know, a lot of people are, they kind of are superstitious about that. You know, they don't want to say until anything firm. I'm that way myself.
Oh, yeah,
so.
You know we both are.
So, yeah, so I can appreciate that. But, yeah, I was sitting there thinking that when he was, speaking on that, I thought, you know, I wonder if this is going to be a movie, you know, and really, I would love for him, for this, you know, if it cannot, well, of course, he's trying to go across the country nationwide with it, but I would love for that to also be out on DVD where people could purchase it.
Oh, sure,
it.
Yeah,
and,
even as the play, you know.
Yeah, I would love that, so maybe, just maybe. Maybe that's what he has in the works. I guess we'll find out, won't we? Stay tuned, huh?
We will.
For sure.
Well, I want to say that next up on this show, on Take Two Radio, on March 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we will be welcoming Novell Lee from Buzzworthy Radio, and I'm sure there's many of you out there that know him. He's a veteran radio host for several years, definitely, if I don't know exactly how many more, but we're going to find out about that and how he got his start. He's also an actor, so we'll talk to him about that. And he also follows all the soaps and the major primetime shows, so we'll be touching base with him about those shows. So please call in if you want to chat with him on Friday, March 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and be sure to press 1. You may want to do that when we get to talking about soaps and give your input. I don't know. But call in and say hello to him. Who knows?
That's right. Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there with thoughts on the soap, so I'm sure you very well may have blowing up phone lines. You never know.
I know, right? plus, he's so much fun to talk to. I mean, he's another ball of energy, and he's so funny, and he just cracks me up all the time. And just watching his tweets go by, too, I mean, you have to giggle with so many of them. And
yeah.
He knows a lot of the soap actors, so, you know, he'll be talking with them, and he'll say something funny. And sometimes people will reach out to him and say, oh, my God, you didn't just say that about so-and-so. And it's just a joke, and that actor knows that it's a joke. It's, you know, he has a lot of running jokes with them. So don't take anything seriously like that if you see him tweeting. It's all in jest.
Yeah.
He's a kind-hearted man.
I bet he has some great stories about all these, you know, soap stars. Lots of great experiences and memories of all of his, you know, chance meetings with a lot of those soap stars.
Oh, yeah.
He knows so many of them personally. And so, yeah, I'm sure he's got lots of good stories, you know.
Right.
The behind the soap scenes, you know,
right.
World in that realm. So he is.
And even maybe some he can't tell.
Exactly. I know. That is so true. That's so true. Well, that'll be a great show, no doubt.
Yeah, I can't wait. So just one more day. Well, no, two more days. Let's say Wednesday. Now I'm like you, would it be in a day off?
I know. Today is Wednesday. It can't be Friday soon enough.
Yeah. We're getting there. That's all. You know,
that's
look
all
at
that
it
matters.
That way.
That's right.
So, well, we want to thank everybody for joining us tonight for Rock Wilk. And if you're interested in helping out either play, if you're a theater owner, if you know somebody that owns one, if you're just a fan of Rock Wide Open and then his upcoming Privilege, give a shout out to Rock, you know, to get him playing in different cities. I think it's wonderful that he's taking it to the colleges, but even to the theaters is better yet because you can reach so many more people. And follow him on Twitter or, you know, give him a shout out on Facebook, private message him, whatever you have to do to get these things, you know, continued on to make a difference in everybody's lives. On Twitter, it's at Rock Wilk, and it's W-I-L-K. And we're going to wrap up tonight's show. I want to thank you so much, Dawn, for joining me again. It's always fun when we're together.
Yeah,
never know
always...
what's going to come out of our mouth.
Hey, read your Skype really quick before we wrap.
Okay. So should I go dun 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 dun? Okay, yes. Tomorrow night on Dawn's new show, Behind the Mic, she's going to have Chanel Edmonds, who played Destiny on One Life to Live. And what time is this show? Go ahead and give a shout out for yourself and tell what it's about.
What time is my show? It is at 8 p.m. Eastern. So Chanel Edmonds, she played Destiny Evans on One Life to Live. And for One Life to Live fans out there, this is your chance to call in and speak with her. And unfortunately, I don't have the number right off the top of my head. I'm so sorry. I'm still learning it. But tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and my show is Behind the Mic Radio. So, and Pam and I are kind of teamed up and joined forces, and so we're trying to bring a lot of great people to both shows so that you have two outlets in which to tune in and so that, you know, you can get lots for your, you know, for your listening enjoyment. So we hope that you'll tune in.
Most definitely. So I guess I'll be ringing into that show to talk with Dawn. Oh, my God. Twist my arm.
I know. We're just like on each other's shows. It's really cool, babe.
Yep.
No, I would love to have you. Plus, you know, I figure you should come hang out with me. I've been hanging out with you. It's your turn to hang out with me for a bit. So.
Yeah. I guess so. No, you know I'd love to. You know I'd love
to.
I appreciate everything that you've helped me with, so it's only right that I do the same.
Well, that'll
be on Blog Talk Radio, too. So, and how do they look you up on Blog Talk?
It's just Behind the Mic Radio. And so they can look me up that way. And also you can follow my Twitter for that show at BT Mic Radio. And you can follow me there. And, of course, I'll be tweeting out from my other show account, Jam and Jukebox, where, you know, you can get all of the, if you follow me on that, either place. And, of course, Pam will be retweeting, I'm sure. So
we
retweet each other's stuff. So
and just to let some people know, because some people may spell it M-I-K-E, it's not. It's M-I-C.
Mm-hmm. Mic
so behind the mic, M-I-C, like as in you're talking into a microphone.
Yes, and probably one of the easiest ways for the moment until people learn the Twitter handle and the show name and all that is just go to behindthemicradio.com, and there's a list of upcoming guests on there, and you'll see Chanel's picture, so we've got more coming. So just stay tuned. It's going to be a great, great show. And also, one other quick thing, if you're a Texas Battle fan, he will be on my show Saturday evening, 5 p.m. Eastern. So I'm excited to be having him on. So you've got lots of listening options between my show, Pam's show, Take Two Radio. We're very excited for what we're doing, and we'll continue to work to bring you the best of the best that we can possibly bring to you from all forms of entertainment.
And you know we can't get enough of Texas.
No, Texas is awesome. It's awesome. In case you were tuned in last week, he was on Pam's show, and it was so exciting. And he is coming. He's agreed to come back and do my show this week, and I'm so excited for him to be helping kick that off and officially. And so it's going to be great. He is so much fun to talk to. And if you are, you know, if you are a huge Texas Battle fan, you'll want to tune in because he always has the greatest stories, and we never know what he's going to talk about. That's
you really don't.
You just never know what he's going to say. So it is always an interesting show when Texas is on, that is for sure.
Yeah. I know we had a lot of fun last week, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it this week.
Yes, indeed.
So with that, check out all our websites and our Twitter and our Facebook and our Blog Talk. And
oh, and by the way, if you want to call in to speak to Chanel, I just got the number. It is 347-945-6965. And, of course, I'll say it again during the show tomorrow night. But, yeah, that'll be the number you can call and speak with her. And, you know, this is an opportunity if you love particular celebrity, it's your opportunity to be up close and personal, call in and talk with them. So please feel free. We'd love to have you.
And you forgot to say press one.
And press one. Don't forget to press one, because if you don't press one, we won't know that you're on hold to talk to the celebrity. It'll show
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Yeah. So press one is very important, because that's what gets you, that's what cues us to let us know that you want to talk to the guest. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Or
right,
even talk to one of us crazy people.
You know, look, that's always a great thing, too. Call and say hello. We'd love to hear from you. So.
Yeah, we encourage it. We love when people call in. So just definitely call, dial that number and call in. Never be afraid. Never be shy. No one's going to bite you.
That's right.
Maybe
that's
a little
right.
bit.
Mm. Yeah.
So with that, I say good night. Dawn, say good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We are glad that you did.
Yes, and we'll be back again tomorrow on Dawn's show, Behind the Mic, with Chanel Edmonds at 7 p.m. I'm sorry, you said 7 p.m., right?
No, 8 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm used to doing my show at 7, so.
I know. I'm throwing you off. Sorry.
Yeah, you are. So that's 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll
yes.
see you tomorrow. Join us, please. And good night, everybody. God bless. Stay safe.
Good night, everyone.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop. Baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at TakeTwoRadio.com and follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast, and you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.